Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, M, content creator, podcaster, mom of two. As women, we go through so many different seasons of life, changes, transitions, those big moves. This feeling of connectedness is something I feel like we need more of to help us through those seasons. And to be able to tap into that, no matter where you are in the world, it's not easy. And my hope is that this podcast can be even a sliver of that for you. So with that, here's a new season of The Big Move. So the episode I'm sharing this week is actually from a live recording that took place in front of a beautiful female audience in New York City in collaboration with one of my favorite brands, MM LaFleur. They're a women's fashion workwear brand. You guys may have already listened to my episode with their founder, Sarah, as she was on the podcast a few months back. And if you haven't, definitely go back and have a listen because she is brilliant. This panel really ended up being this beautiful medley of both an uplifting but also very real talk on career, how we define and gauge success in a post-pandemic world, moments of magic that help us feel connected, and how to better lean into our internal voice. My three panelists, Hitha Pallapu, Kristen O'Keefe, and Olivia Joan, are incredible, and they all have these varying perspectives and stories to share. We also hear from my dear friend and intuitive business coach, Alex Kaola, who opens us up with a beautiful meditation exercise. There was really just so much magic in this room and bringing together these women that night, and I'm just excited to share this with you now. So this is my third live event, and every time I do one of these, I get a text from my mom the night before saying, so Em, like, am I going to be able to listen to this real time tomorrow? And I'm like, every time, I'm like, no, mom, like, we're recording it live in front of an audience, but then we're going to be releasing the episode at a later date. But, like, love the enthusiasm. Great shout. Maybe next time. So anyways, hi, guys. I'm Emily. Welcome to the Big Move podcast. We are recording live tonight at MM LaFleur's Upper East Side Manhattan store, and we're really coming together for an evening of community, so thank you guys so much for coming. And we're celebrating MM's fall campaign, which is around this theme of moments of magic, which are those moments that bring joy and ultimately spark creativity and help us to lean into our intuition. So we have an amazing dynamic panel of women to chat with tonight. I can't wait to dive into that. But before we do, I'm going to welcome a dear friend of mine, Alex Kaola. She's an intuitive executive and business coach, and she's going to set the tone for tonight with a grounding meditation.
Thank you so much, Em. I'm excited to be here. Welcome, everybody. So let's do some breathing together, and then I'm going to lead you through a short guided meditation that's just going to prime you beautifully for this panel today. So you can leave your eyes open with a soft gaze or close them. I am going to close mine, which is interesting because I'm standing up, so we'll see how this goes. If you hear a thud, don't worry about it. I'll figure it out. Okay, so let's take a deep breath in from the base of our spine all the way to the top of our crown. And audible exhale, release. Good job. Let's do that one more time. Deep inhale from the base of the spine all the way to the top of the crown. And as you exhale, release all of the things that happened earlier today, things that are to happen later, and just let it all go. Good job. And do that one more time on your own rhythm, just really leaning into the exaggerated breath. Great job. So as you ground into where you're at today, your current energy, how you're feeling now, having cleansed out with the breath, if there's words that come to mind, if there's feelings that spring forth, just take a little note and keep it moving. The wonderful thing about thoughts and emotions is that they are fleeting. They are constantly on an ebb and flow and a wave. And so as we tune in and ground in, we just get clearer on where we're at, our own energy, and then it allows us to also engage with the community around us in a clearer and more intentional way. So as we just sit and think about kind of what's coming up for us, also spend some time with some gratitude for the fact that you're here, the fact that you're in peace, that you're able to engage in this way as a human being. It is sometimes a little existential to really stop and think about how rare it is that you're here and how important it is that you're here at this moment in time. It's no accident. So really just feeling into that inspiration that exists when you go within. So as you sit within, take yourself into an observer seat. Maybe you think about it in your mind's eye. Maybe you think about climbing up the staircase to your brain and having a little seat in an office, let's say, or in a space that just feels like it's uniquely yours to take in information and observe what you're about to today. And if you're thinking about your office at home, just clear off the desk, make it completely clear and open for you. This is your imagination, right? So imagine like the most beautiful office space you've ever seen in your life. And you're just excited. You can see and smell and have all of the senses available to you there. There's a little notebook or a white space, whiteboard for you to take down notes for the things that you hear and experience today in your mind's eye. You don't need to take actual notes because you're going to remember everything so well that you experienced today. And you're also going to take this information and apply it to your own life, but as an observer. So really starting to take in and think about how that experience will be for you. So now that you've set up shop, you can now feel ready to be inspired to create what you're meant to co-create in this space, in this room. This community is completely unique. It's never existed before. It will never exist again. So just take that in. And when you're ready, you can start to open your eyes. If you want to rub your hands together, put your hands on your arms or your legs to just come back in. We're ready. Thank you. Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you, Alex. So we're going to introduce our lovely panelists. So Hitha, would you mind kicking us off? Just brief background on who you are and what you're all about.
Hi, everyone. My name is Hitha Palapu. I am a multi-hyphenate, which is just a fancy way of saying I have terrible boundaries. My day job is running Roshan Pharmaceuticals. We're developing injectable aspirin for hospital use. I am also a content creator and an author and a longtime MM fan and early investor, and very happy to be here tonight.
Hi, I'm Olivia Joan. I'm not as cool as you.
She's so much cooler than me. Like, so much cooler. I want to be you when I grow up.
I'm a photographer. I work primarily with the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, as well as Architectural Digest. I primarily focus on POC, women of color in particular, and just, you know, photographing women of color in a new light in a way that we've never really seen it done before. I feel like when we typically photograph women of color, it's in a stereotypical way, but I want to showcase women like my mom and my sister, everyday women, even if we don't, you know, aren't dressed to the nines or in a stereotypical way or whitewashed, just how I see them powerful, beautiful, and independent. As of recent, I am a content creator. I started my little content creation showcasing my grandmother's wonderful wardrobe and documenting that on TikTok, and it's just blossomed into its own thing. And that's it, yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Kristen O'Keefe Merrick. I am a financial advisor at my family-run firm based out of North Jersey. What I do is essentially help women and their families manage their money and also answer and help them and guide them through their financial lives. The other thing that I do is I'm the co-founder of a women's organization called Women Work Fucking Hard with my best friend, Lindsay Shookus. And our community is growing, and it's a spectacular group of women, and we bring women together for the sole purpose of highlighting how wonderful we all are, how much help we all need, and making sure that we are all doing what we can to help other women in the best way possible. And I have a couple kids, and I live in North Jersey.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So getting into the theme of tonight, you are all such incredibly busy, ambitious women. I'd love to dive into the idea of what ambition and success sort of means to us, especially in a post-pandemic world. I feel like our work-life balance has changed, our working environments has changed. So Hitha, I'm going to start with you. Always starting with you, apparently. I feel like our definition and idea around what success means has changed so much. What has that shift in involvement sort of looked like for you specifically?
I mean, I think a lot about February 2020. And I think we all must go back to that time and be like, what if the pandemic had never happened and we were on the path that we thought we would be on? So things at that time seemed on paper fantastic. I was negotiating a term sheet for the Series A raise for my company. I had just gotten picked to speak at South by Southwest. My husband and I were talking about having a third kid, and everything seemed like it was perfect and could not just be better. And then the pandemic happened. That term sheet disappeared. Idea of a third kid also disappeared because my youngest has made it very clear he is the baby of the family. South by Southwest and any speaking opportunities I had disappeared. And then I was living in my parents' house in Pennsylvania, literally pushing my younger son on a stroller and watching my older son on a scooter, just doing that same lap every day for twice a day on the phone, begging for money, trying to keep the company alive, and barely hanging on. And it was not in that moment, but I think when things stabilized, the kids were able to go to school again, and I could breathe, that I was like, why am I killing myself for a definition of success that I don't think was ever mine? Why have I internalized this narrative of what the world has told me success looks like and tried to live up to it? And it was a lot of, it was that moment of, if I'm 80 years old, what do I wish my life would have been like? And it wasn't about the company, and it wasn't about speaking on certain stages. It was about having a nurturing relationship and great memories with my loved ones. It was a sense of peace. And like, I have this fantasy, and I think you, when you told us to go into a certain place where we work, it was like a wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling library with just like shelves full of books and some notebooks thrown around and a fireplace. And that is kind of the being in a cozy room filled with learning and opportunities and memories was the vision that I was like, okay, so this is not aligned with what society has told me is successful, but this is the narrative I'm going to write for myself. And that's when I just made the decision. I couldn't even tell you what specific day or those specific circumstances. I was probably sitting on my couch, drinking a glass of wine, watching a terrible Housewives season, and going, not this anymore. And it had to have been in October 2020, because in November 2020, I got approached to write my second book from a publisher. I also started interdiligence with a company that licensed our pharma product. And the prediction I had made in November 16, 2016 came true with the election. So that was crazy and the weirdest thing I've ever manifested. But then I just set me off on this holding on to that original vision. Like, I keep getting drawn into, oh, this raise needs to be announced in the trades, or, oh, I need to write another book, or, oh, I need to. I'm done needing to on somebody else's definition, and I'm just savoring the walks home with my kids from school and letting them get an ice cream cone from a Mr. Softy truck and getting one myself. I'm savoring the time I have at home watching terrible television with my husband. No, he watches the good television, and I watch the terrible television when he's gone to bed. And being really thrilled to have experiences and being in events and spaces like these, but also savoring those couch nights at home way more than I ever had. I just so, in really hard times in the world, I think all of us are a little bit more appreciative. We don't take those little bit moments for granted because so many aren't able to. So my definition of success has vastly different, but it is still a battle to preserve my vision versus falling back into the default vision.
Yeah, it sounds like a balance. And so Kristen or Olivia, was that similar for you or did it look a little bit different?
I was still in college when the pandemic hit. It was my senior year of college. So,
hey, but I'm so sad you lost that.
Yeah, so I had worked for 2 years. You know, I went to art school, I went to Parsons, and, you know, our thesis project was supposed to end with a gallery exhibition, and that was supposed to be, like, the jump start to your career. And that sadly did not happen, and we had the Zoom graduation. And I think, you know, going to art school by itself was a very challenging thing for me to convince my family that I can do it. And, you know, when I had initially told my family that I was going to go to art school, they're like, why don't you do, like, photography on the side and then, like, right, as a hobby and, like, go to real school, because, like, art school isn't, like, a thing. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't until, like, I got a nice merit scholarship that they're like, oh, wait, like, maybe you have something. And then when the pandemic hit, I think my mom, of course, and my grandparents were just in a panic. They're like, oh, what is she going to do? Like, how are we? My siblings would have jokes. They're like, oh, she's going to live in our guest house. Like, you know, like, we're going to have to take care of her. But luckily, my first job out of college was with Vogue. And that, like, set the tone. And I then got approached by the New York Times and TikTok on top of that. But I think my understanding of success is actually just being confident to tell people what I do, because I think when I tell people I'm a freelance photographer, it comes with, like, this, you know, freelance is like a taboo term, no one really thinks it's really professional, but I want to get to a point in my life where I am confident and happy, and yeah, I'm a freelance photographer as well as a content creator, and I have no shame. And I don't know when that moment will happen in my life, but I just think that's my version of success, and I'm excited to reach that. I have not yet, but I will let you know when I do.
Heath and I were living probably parallel, similar lives pre-pandemic. We spent a lot of time at the Wing, and we had a billion meetings, and I was just constant. I had changed careers in 2015 and joined the Wing in 2016, and basically from 2016 to the pandemic, I just ran around like a lunatic every fucking day. And I just was, like, always sweating, and I always had to carry makeup around. It was, like, a real mess. And so what the pandemic did for us, for my family, was just, you know, a concrete wall, everything stopped. And I came out the other side realizing that success had to be redefined, because what I had initially thought was success was just growing the business and growing the business and growing the business. But you can't just keep growing something without pausing and saying, okay, well, what is this? What am I doing? What's my plan? And so for me, the last few years has been a lot more focusing on the things that give me joy and bring me happiness. And I truly believe that, I mean, my work really does bring me happiness. Women Work Fucking Hard is truly, like, such a phenomenal platform for Lindsay and I to express, like, all the things that we want to do for the world and say to the world. But I also just have started, like, doing things that I want to do. So when I was, like, in the fourth grade, I wanted a Mercedes, which is a weird thing to say out loud. So I got a Mercedes this year, and I got a 1999 SL500, and it's silver, and it's a convertible, and it's so beautiful. And it brings me incredible amounts of joy to drive around this old little car. And it's the things like that where I was like, what am I waiting for? Why am I, it's not like, it doesn't need to be a next year thing. It doesn't need to, let's just buy the cute little car. And then my husband and I have really made a decision to, like, do the things, say yes to the things, you know, go on the trips and go to the parties, and really just embrace life, like throw a dinner party when we want to, and things like that, things that, like, genuinely make me happy. So that is kind of my new motto, is it going to serve me? Is it going to make me happy? And should I, and if so, then I should do it.
I love that. And it kind of leads me to my question around, like, how are we gauging success? Mm. And I'm kind of hearing from all of you, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it's more of a balance now, and it's more of the things that sort of light you up. But I guess on the flip side of the coin, when we think about sort of from a business perspective, has your gauge of success kind of changed? Like, are we looking at social media metrics? Like, Kristen, for you, is it, you know, you're more financial driven? What's the feedback from your community?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Women, success in general, I think, changes as you evolve, right? Like, my 25-year-old version of me just wanted to make money, right, and drink martinis. And then, like, my 35-year-old version was like, oh, I should have kids and get a house. 44, I'm not 45 yet, 44-year-old Kristen, obviously I just defined what that is, but women in general, when it comes to money, it's really interesting. So I think the thing that women think about when it comes to money and what success means with money is actually more stability. And a stability is a really, really important thing when it comes to women and the psychology of money. I remember doing my sales training years ago, and one of the advisors was giving us a chat about kind of just psychology, and he said, and it was a really interesting comment, he said, you can have a woman with $40,000 and a woman with $40 million, and they are going to have the same fear, and that same fear is that they are going to be destitute and living on the streets. And I was like, this guy's a chauvinist. And then I was like, well, wait a minute, I think he's actually probably right. And given all the conversations that I have with women, stability is number one. Where the conversations with men, it's much more, I want the house, the bigger things, I want the bigger paycheck, I want the more whatever. But women, it's much more stability. And I understand that, because we're the caretakers in most cases, and we want to make sure that we're safe. I think it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. No, I love that answer. So I have a last kind of open question in this topic particular. So I guess when it comes to success overall, and I'm sort of teasing out a workshop we're going to do later with our lovely business coach, Alex. But so when we think about success, how does our intuition and our inner voice sort of play into how we're thinking about it? And is it working sort of against you or for you? What is that kind of looking like?
I am a little too intuitive in that when I get an idea, I have the tendency to abandon almost everything else I have to do to work on said idea. So for that, it actually has been about, I think, being more methodical about my intuition and knowing that I'm going to have a million ideas, but I need to be a little smarter about how I jump in, and I need to maybe flush it out a bit more before I kind of abandon everything to be in service of that. And I think also having now two kids and they're older, which has made things a little bit easier in some regards and harder in other regards, I'm just a lot more mindful that my energy, my time just isn't my own to be the mom I want to be and to be the wife I want to be and to be the friend I want to be. So there is a tool that one of my dear friends and a coach I've worked with, Karen, has taught me, which is called a Magic 20. And what it is when you have this big goal, you write down 20 things you can do to go make you progress on said goal. And I find that to be a really powerful exercise because 20 things is hard to list when you think that you have, like, this is exactly what you want to do. So that exercise in and of itself can help filter out, is this actually something I want to take action on? Or is this something that it's a great idea, but maybe not now or maybe not for me? And then I taking action every single day, it helps me move forward on that and allows me to recalibrate. Am I still very aligned to this goal? Is my intuition still saying hell yes? Or have I recognized that the time I spent has taught me something else that I want to pursue or the time I want to claim for myself? So I think that is probably the best advice I've ever received that I also try to share with everyone because it really is such a magical tool, and hence it's called a Magic 20.
I love that. Olivia, anything to add?
Do you mind just restating the question?
Yeah, just talking about our inner voice and how it kind of plays into our overall thoughts on success. And
yeah, I'll take it from like the content creator side. I think for me, I had this fear because I wasn't as big as other creators, but I was being invited to these amazing events. So being that the first event that I ever went to or got invited to was with Hermes, and they flew me out to Paris. And before they flew me out, they sent me an email with everyone that was attending and all of their following counts. And at the time, I only had 4,000 followers. And everyone had like half a million or 100,000, and I just felt like I don't belong here. And I called my mom, and we had this long talk, and she told me it's quality over quantity. You deserve to be in this space, and it doesn't matter how many people are following you. People like you, and the right people like you, and they see something in you that's different. And you just need to be yourself. You don't need to be someone else. And that has always stuck with me, no matter what room I walk in, no matter who I'm meeting. I'm going to be myself. I'm not going to change myself for someone else, and I'm going to be authentic to the end. And even if I feel like I'm not deserving, especially like tonight, I'm along with these like beautiful, talented people, and I'm like panicking over here, especially because I struggle with public speaking. And I don't know, like just reminding that I'm deserving of this, and I'm going to succeed, and I'm going to be great. And it doesn't matter how many people I have on my side, as long as I have myself on my side. And that's it.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like that's a perfect place to kind of segue into our main theme of tonight, which is these moments of magic. I know on a personal level, I'm coming off of what feels like a year of change. I was living abroad in London for 6 years, and I'm coming back to the States. I'm a mom now. I have 2 kids. Before I left New York, I was single and no kids and just felt a lot more freer. So coming back, I feel like I'm a whole new person. And I feel like there's something I keep coming back to, and it's this theme of connectedness and those small things that I can do on a day-to-day to make me feel like me and keep myself grounded. And I feel like those small things and those moments of magic are really what I can reach for to keep me grounded, like during such a time of flux. So I also feel like when I think about moments of magic, it can be kind of twofold. So maybe it's something that puts you in a flow state. It might be work-related. Or on the other hand, it might be something that's a bit more personal, maybe makes you feel more grounded. So I love to kick it off to you guys. Like, what are those kind of moments of magic for you? And do you feel like there's a difference? And when can you kind of call on one or the other? And it was like 3 questions in one.
I know. So I love like my house. I love my home, and I really love fuzzy socks, and I love tea, and I love my books, and I really love my TV. So for me, I like my bathtub too, guys. So I have a lot of things, but I love my house. So for me, it's being home and being cozy and just kind of leaning into that is what is kind of my inner peace. It gives me an incredible amount of calm and happiness, and just to like sit in my family room and I'm watching The Crown right now, so like that's my example.
It's the best.
So like, you know, watching The Crown, and then having a glass of wine or something like that, just to kind of relax, and the kids are running around, and it's home, and it's comforting to me. I'm an avid reader. It's kind of my thing. I've read, since I talked to you guys, 24 books this year.
Ooh.
Yeah, another one. And I mean, my goal is 30. And so it's things like that it's simple stuff, really. It's my Mercedes. It's tennis. But I will say this. I have one thought on this that I'm very kind of passionate about. I hate the word self-care. I think they're kind of dumb. But what I really don't like is martyrdom. And I have a really hard time with women specifically who feel like they have to tell me how busy they are and they can't take care of themselves and their kids take over their lives and blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, you're not busier than me, girlfriend. You're just not. And if I can sit at home in my fuzzy socks and watch The Crown, so can you. So take your martyrdom and take it elsewhere. And I have to get rid of those people in my life because they stress me out. But like, lose the martyrdom. We're all busy. I hate the word busy too. But the idea of just taking care of yourself and going inwards, because if you don't mm-hmm. take care of yourself, nobody mm-hmm. else is going to take care of you.
I love that you said that so much. I feel like it's coming up a lot, especially in motherhood. And yeah, so I appreciate you just offering that.
It's very prevalent in motherhood.
It's, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Olivia, is there anything like you wish there was more space for in your day?
Honestly, I love hanging out with my best friend, Wynn, at our favorite place called Rufian, which is a wine bar. And I wish that we could do this every night, which sounds like we might have a drinking problem. But we don't. It's just like the times that we can spend together drinking wine and just like hanging out and just like being ourselves. Like there's no pressure. Like we'll tell each other most embarrassing things and like there's no judgment. And then there are times we'll take like our natural wines and bring it over to my place and we'll just sit on the couch starting at 12. We'll like talk for like 2 hours, watch something, and then 3 hours of just silence and us on our phones. And like we'll look up, check if like they're asleep. If not, okay, cool. We're just like back on our phones and it's like peaceful. And I wish I could do that like every single day because when she leaves, I'm by myself and I'm like, that was the best day of my life. Yeah. It's just so much fun and we're not talking our ears off. It's just like her presence in my life has just been so calming for me. And, you know, even though she just moved in with her boyfriend, I wish, like, she moved in with me. We, like, even talked about it where, like, you know, like, I'll just, like, be in this, I'll have an add-on to the apartment. Like, we'll create another room for me. Like, I'll just, with my dog, like, you know. It's just, like, those moments I wish I could have more of. And because of our busy schedule, we don't. Mm-hmm. But they're the days that I cherish the most and I will always look back on. And I hope that when I do have kids, like, my kids will be able to have a best friend like that. That they're going to be able to experience that, like, very joy and moments with. So,
yeah. That's beautiful.
I love that.
Mine is a combination of both of yours. Like, I'm very protective of my solo time. I also love to read, but I'm not reading smart things. I think they're smart, but I read a lot of romance novels. And I will tell you why romance novels will change the world.
I love romance.
It's because women are loved not in spite of the qualities that society will have you think are negative. They are loved for their full selves, which we all need to be reminded of. Their needs come first, which people just learn and get on that. And there's always a happy ending. And I think in a world that is so dark and so uncertain, this is very grounding and calming to me. And it just makes me really happy when I finish a romance novel. And so I read basically that. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm very proud of it. And I probably read a romance novel a week. So, but again, they're very easy reads. So
are you trying to compete with me for the amount of books that you read?
Because your books are probably much more literary and deep. Mine are not. They're fluff and I love them. I also am big on inviting friends over to sit on the couch and we order in some food. We have a nice, like, some Ghia because we're getting old and we can't hang anymore. Or like that half bottle of wine. And it's just a chance to connect. And most of the time, we never have our phones. Like, the phones are at the front door, and we've had a chance to have a real conversation mm-hmm. and come together. We might watch Vanderpump or reality TV, too, and that's fun, and we commentate on that. But that moment, for both myself and to nurture the connections with the people I don't live with, are really important to me and very much non-negotiables. And because I make time and space for those, I am able to do all the other things on my plate. And it is ditching martyrdom and embracing we have this opportunity to live this very full life that we get to decide what goes on our plate. And there's a lot that we don't have a choice on what comes mm-hmm. on our plate. So to be able to protect that section, mm-hmm. I think of like a kid's like cafeteria tray, like I'd save that little round section that the cookie goes on for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it goes back to boundaries and like creating and carving that out. I also love that all these moments were not work related at all. So I feel like we all kind of crave that, especially coming in a post-pandemic world environment. So getting into community, which is why we're all here tonight, I love to talk about that a little bit. You have all created incredible communities, both on and offline. So I'd love to talk about how it plays into our sort of work life and how we can reach for this and create this no matter where we are in the world. I feel like that's really important, especially for Micey. I'm like coming back from living abroad and I need that in my life. So Hitha, I'd love to start with you. I feel like our idea of community has also changed in this new working world. So how are you thinking about community now?
I have to think about it in two ways. There's community big C from the social media and content lens. That is your value to brands and to partners is that engagement and that audience you bring. And I have to really remind myself to separate that metric from the people who are DMing me with really vulnerable questions, where we're having exchanges, and sometimes I'm just a sounding board. They don't have anyone else to talk to. Sometimes they said, yeah, I heard this podcast you did, and it meant a lot to me. Can I ask you some follow-up questions? And to me, that time is always worth it. And that is the community, to me, that is more intentional than getting into the comments of a post or answering Q&As on Instagram stories, because that's building relationships. And it really just comes down to that, is can you show up for your people, whether you know them in real life or not? And, you know, I wouldn't have the opportunities I have without these people. And I'm so mindful that I get to do this every day because someone decided to hit follow when they stumbled upon my account and engage with what I was putting out there when I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Still don't know what the heck I'm doing half the time. So I take that relationship extremely seriously, and I give it the same value and importance that I give my in-person relationships, but to an extent. There are times I have to be offline, and I have a very offline husband, and I think that is the best boundary I have ever had because he just doesn't care. Like, for him, he goes, I care about you. I don't care about this stranger I don't know opening up their heart to you. And it just reminds me I can't be everything to everyone as well. And to put the phone away, put it on the charger, and sit on the couch with him and watch Star Trek and eat this weird protein brownie recipe I found on the internet. But actually, like, tastes really good, and it's like a souffle. I'll post it to my story tonight. But like, it's really good.
I love that. And I, Olivia, I feel like this is the perfect time to talk about your Vogue article, because I feel like the Vogue article, I feel like you've done an amazing job of bridging the gap between your online and your offline community. So I feel like this is the perfect time to share, like, sort of what that experience was like for you.
Yeah. What I'd love to do is be as personal as possible online, just because I feel like we hold like these influencers to a certain like status that they need to be perfect and cookie cutter. And as you can tell, I'm not that. I cry. I'm emotional. I stumble over my words. I never want to portray that on the internet just to get views. And I want to be authentic and have people connect with me. Also, just growing up and like flipping through magazines, especially like not seeing people that look like me and have crazy hair, and growing up with this like stigma with Black women that you need to be strong and independent and powerful. And no, like, you can have emotions and you can crack and you can cry. And I do that. I literally cried on the internet 2 days ago reading a book. Actually, I was 11 pages in, and I was bawling my eyes out. God, 1,000 Boys Kisses, listen, it is a cheesy book.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But those 11 pages got me, you know? And oh, I, like, God, shared that, and it, like, and I, like, I got so many people, like saying, thank you, I need a book that makes me cry. And, like, those are the moments, or posting, like, I think the start of my TikTok before posting my grandmother's clothing was going on dates with my ex-boyfriend and documenting that. And then we got into a relationship, and then he broke up with me. And then I like posted the breakup, and then I posted another one where I thought I was going to get asked out on the date, then got broken up with. And like those moments that people are like, wait, I can actually relate to this. And like, you are real, and you're not like this, like, hi guys, welcome to my clean girl aesthetic. My room's a mess, and I will document that just because I want people to feel like they're not alone and like there's someone like that on a bigger platform. And with the Vogue article, what was really great about that was I was showcasing my grandmother's clothing, someone that meant so much to me and will always mean, like, I'm wearing her clothing right now. And just like, also just like, talking about her legacy and keeping that alive, especially as a Black woman who's able to own designer pieces in a time period that Black women should not be owning those pieces. And, you know, also having the American dream, like being the first African-American company to go public on the stock market. And I don't know, it's just the authenticness to that and just people caring and seeing themselves in her and in me just means so much to me. And I will continue doing that until my last breath. And yeah, I hope that answered your question. Yeah. I feel like I wanted to like tangent.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And Kristen, I'd love for you to share more about Women Work Fucking Hard, because what a cool organization, and how it's been created a community for you.
Yeah. So it started in 2018. kind of as a, the actual intention wasn't a joke, but the name of it obviously was, and it stuck. Lynn's had an esthetician who we were trying to get business for. She was a single mom, and she was growing her business, and we wanted her to have more clients. So Lindsay called me one day, and she said, hey, what if we threw a party in my apartment? We invite 50 cool women, and we have Lily set up and do skincare, and we just serve wine, and we call it Women Work Fucking Hard. And I was, like, really tired when she called, and I was like, my kids are the worst. I'm sweating in Manhattan. I have no I mean, it was just, like, a moment. I was like, yeah, yeah, we're doing it. Okay, great. And so we threw this party at Lindsay's apartment in February of 2018, and it was like a magical thing. It was just the women that showed up. It all just was like chemistry and beautiful and wonderful. And we just were like, oh shit, we got to keep doing this. And so every year the party got bigger and bigger. This year's party, we had 200 women. It was awesome. It's like truly the best thing ever. But the whole point of everyone keeps being like, well, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to create Women Order? Where is it going to go? And the truth of the matter is we're not sure. Right now we're using it as a platform for us to do things that we think are cool. So if that means like throwing a party for somebody who's launching a book, then we're going to do that. If it means we're going to host a virtual salon soon about hormones and how we should all be understanding how our hormones work, because no one talks about hormones and nobody talks about menopause, but guess what? I am like right on my way to menopause. So, you know, it's things like that that are interesting to us. We're big activists in the abortion space and the reproductive rights space. So we get to use this platform for the things that we believe really strongly in. And we help people. I mean, every single day we help women, and it's small things and it's big things, and it's whether it's making a connection between two women and they go off and do something cool together, or it's hosting a party for somebody who just wrote a book and we want the world to know about that. It's meaningful work, and it feels really good to do it, and the women who are part of this community who show up for these events love it so much, because it's just a bunch of badass bitches, really, is what it is. It's just the most amazing group of women, East Coast, West Coast, and we're really proud of it, and we hope to keep growing it. So,
I love that. Yeah. So I'm on my last. I can't believe I could talk to you ladies all night. My last sort of question is open for all of the panelists. In our work, when we're sort of thinking about that internal voice versus the external factors, is your community helping you to better hear that voice? Are they helping to lift you up? Like, what does that look like?
Okay.
Yeah, like your, I guess I'm thinking about your online community specifically, because I feel like your TikTok really has reached new heights.
Yeah, I've had a blessing where the community that, like the followers that I have are just so supportive of me. And I love the comments are like, this feels like we're on FaceTime together. Or, I'm so happy I'm not alone in this feeling. Or it's just, or the DMs that I get, and I just, it's honestly so reassuring to me, because I think that this world can be so cruel and people love to hate, and the fact that I've surrounded myself with a community of people that are just genuine, and I'm also genuine to others. I think that there's so many characters online and that are on a, like, just not real, and I never want to present that to others. I want to be real, and I want to make mistakes and showcase that, and people accept that. No one makes fun of me for that. No one makes fun of me for my stutter or like my stumbling over my words or my awkwardness. Like, I feel like I've been embraced, and it's been a blessing. Yeah. It's honestly, what's crazy to me is I feel like I've gotten more hate from influencers than the people that follow me. You know, I've been to like some influencing events where I've told them what I do, and they'll tell me, but you don't have enough followers for that, or, but, you know, like, how are you doing this and I'm not? And it's like those moments that I'm like, how are you, like, presenting yourself online in this, like, hi guys, like, I'm like this nice person, but in real life, like, you are terrible and you're so mean. But then when I meet people that follow me, they're so nice and opening and just so kind, and it's like, what the hell? Yeah, I don't know.
But you attract that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, like...
Yeah, you attract that because you're, you know, you give that off and people recognize
it. Yeah.
And that feedback from the other influencers is more about how they feel about themselves mm-hmm. than how they feel about you.
Yeah.
Please remember that anytime negative people feel called to say something negative in person or from behind a screen, it's a reflection on things that are going on in their life.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with you. You were just the catalyst of those emotions.
Yeah, I agree with that. So,
you're doing great, babe.
Thanks. Cool.
Good. I think mine acts as a filter from making sure I don't post things that aren't of value. And that is, I kind of have to, when I have a bad day, remind myself to FaceTime my parents or talk to my husband or call a friend versus vent into the phone and for tens of thousands to see. And that constant thought of, is this going to bring value or connection? Or is this me just needing to talk to someone? And I think in this nascent world of social media, which, let's be honest, influencing didn't exist in its industry term and in terms of the marketing dollars associated with it up until just very recently. So we're still very much at the baby ages of an industry that I hope to shape in a responsible and productive manner and not in sort of a self-serving one, I think too highly of myself, or in a way that's doing harm and either making people feel bad about themselves in that comparison game or just bad misinformation out there, because there is a lot of it. So yeah, I'm focused on the people in my DMs. I'm focused mm-hmm. on the people who engage or don't engage, but I try not to take advantage of that trust that people have given to me and not treat them like my therapist. And instead I just have a great therapist.
Kudos to the therapist.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have a great therapist. I had to fire mine. Anyway, that's a story for another day. She's probably listening. So I have a lot of micro communities. I have Women Work Hard, which is obviously a bigger community, and then I have my clients, my beautiful clients. But I have, you know, my moms from the neighborhood, and I have my friends from high school, and I have my friends from college, and I'm little. So I have my little communities. And what I've had to realize over the years is that if you don't serve me, then you have to go. And the therapist actually helped me with that, if I'm being fair. And that is it was a big thing for me to have to realize that, oh, wait a minute, I actually like genuinely don't enjoy your company anymore and I don't want to hang out with you anymore. And so I can do that now, right? I'm in my mid-40s and I don't have time for everybody else. If I don't want to hang out with you, I'm not. And that is like a huge thing for me, that I really try to surround myself with people who are fun and funny and smart and interesting. And it's become more and more important to me on a daily basis. And I'm terrible at Instagram, so I'm like, whatever.
No, that's perfect. I feel like this is the perfect place to end our panel discussion. You've all lifted each other up just alone from this one panel. We've all just met in real life tonight, so it's just very cool to see. So thank you for sharing like your amazing nuggets and tidbits and lifting each other up. So before I send you all off, can you share one thing that's coming up that's exciting for you, and also let the audience know where they can keep up with you from here?
Sure. My second book's 2-year anniversary is Thursday. So it's called We're Speaking, The Life Lessons of Kamala Harris. Writing it nearly killed me because I wrote it in 3 months and I still can't believe that. So if you like books and you like the vice president or want a new perspective on her, highly recommend picking up a copy and leaving a review on Amazon, please. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Instagram. I'm at Hitha Palapu, but if you search HITHA, I'll pop up. So
I'm going to be part of a book next year, which I'm really excited about. It's called Black Sisterhood, and I did a self-portrait with my sister and I in Argentina, wearing my grandmother's clothing, incorporating, you know, both of my, like, so my dad's from Argentina, but my mom's from Chicago, so just incorporating both sides of us. And my sister also lives in Argentina. She goes to medical school. So it's just, I don't know, it's just encapsulating both cultures, and I'm very excited. It's been like a long going process. So, and then you can find me on Instagram at _OliviaJoan, and then TikTok OliviaJoan18. I feel like I'm very real on TikTok in comparison to Instagram. So if you want to see me cry, just go to TikTok. Listen.
Okay, so in my Instagram, which is just mostly stories about reproductive rights, just to be clear, is not very exciting. Occasionally, there's a picture of my dog. at the girl who saves money, you can, if you're interested in Women Work Fucking Hard, it's wwfh.community. There's a contact part, so just throw your name in. We can add you to the newsletter. We can send you start sending you stuff for the community events. And then my for my business is okeyfinancialpartners.com.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you found value from this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review, and tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at mroberts.m. We always love connecting with you, and we'll catch you next time.